Well, again, it's so good to be here with all of you. And if you are a guest visiting with us, we hope you feel welcomed in this place, in this family of South Creek. And if you are a regular attender on a regular basis, I hope you find a warmth and a spirit of peace and joy as you're here celebrating Christmas Eve with all of us together. So thank you for being here. As we jump in and get started, I want to acknowledge something that may seem a little bit obvious, but maybe not. There is an extraordinary event in every single one of our lives that we've all been a part of, but we don't remember a single second of it. All of us have had this experience, and we don't remember it. And you may guess, and you may be able to come to the conclusion on your own, that is our birth. We have all been born. Newsflash, it's happened. We've all been born. And sometimes, because birth is so common and so seemingly ordinary, we take it for granted. But it happens all the time. The United Nations estimate that there are 4 births every second. 4 births every second. And they just keep coming. Here they are. More than 10,000 babies are born every day in the U.S. alone. And worldwide, it's estimated that 385,000 babies are born each day. It happens all the time. It's pretty ordinary when you think about it, but because that it happens all the time, we often take for granted that it is truly a miraculous event filled with awe and wonder. Each one of us, you and I, are a reminder of the beauty and the complexity of human existence. We are created. And so we've been in this series, if you've been joining us over the course of the past month, looking at the ordinary aspects of life and how God works the extraordinary through them. And birth in and of itself is extraordinary. And so today we're going to ask the question, what about Jesus' birth then? What makes his birth beyond extraordinary? And you may think to yourself, well, I mean, he was born of a virgin. That seems like a miraculously extraordinary event in and of itself. And as it is, that is just the beginning. That is just the foundation that leads to what we're going to talk about today. The most important aspect and reason for Jesus to be born. And we'll get to that as we continue. And so we're going to go through the scripture that we just read for the Advent reading and sort of pull it apart a little bit as we continue. And as we do that, I realize that many of you in this room have maybe heard this story 100 times. This is something you hear all the time. And if it's not just on during Christmas, you hear it at times during different messages throughout the year. Maybe this is just something you do as a family tradition, is come to church on Christmas Eve. And maybe that's the only time you come to church. And we are happy that you are here if that is you. But if that's the case, most likely this is one of the only stories that you've heard. Or maybe you haven't heard this at all. Regardless of where you are, first and foremost, thank you for being here. I believe God wants to speak to you in this place this afternoon and this evening. But either way, I would challenge you to listen to the words tonight, to listen to these words of scripture with fresh ears, with fresh mindset, because it's so easy to take this for granted. Just like it's easy for us to take our birth for granted, it's easy for us to take this story for granted, and we're going to remind ourselves why we shouldn't do that. And so we're going to jump in, and we're going to start in verse 4 of Luke chapter 2, which we just read, and I'm going to unpack as we go. So first, starting in verse 4, Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. So already right off the bat, we see that there's some uncommon situations taking place for the birth of Jesus. He wasn't in a typical setting like many other Jewish babies would have been. And so to be quite honest, it's a unique experience. And we have all known other people who have had unique or extreme experiences with their birth. And maybe it wasn't you, but maybe you knew somebody who was born in an Uber on the way to the hospital, right? Or maybe you know somebody who had an emergency situation and needed to have a C-section in order to have a successful birth. That's actually the story of our daughter. If it wasn't for the miracle of modern medicine, I don't know what would have happened. And so all of us can probably point to somebody that we know or even ourselves that have had some sort of a unique situation when it came to being born. And so that's not what makes this story so incredible, because that's just one of many other stories that are like that. But as we continue to read in verses 8 and 9, see if you can see where things start to get a little extraordinary, a little beyond normal as we move forward. And so in verse 8, it says this: "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." So I can see that this might be a moment in which things are starting to take a turn. Something significant is happening. Angels have just showed up. Now, as we read the beginning of that, it was customary and normal for shepherds to be out in the field watching and tending their flocks. This part of the story was normal. Shepherding was a common occupation in that region. It was a primary source of agriculture. And I'll actually point out something really powerful in just a minute as to what the shepherds would have been doing at that moment. But all of that was normal. What was not normal was the fact that the angel appeared to them along with the glory of the Lord. Something significant was happening, and these shepherds were going to be told of it. And so this is the first sign that there is clearly something amazing taking place. Now, when my kids were born, no one told me that they saw angels and bright lights to tell them where to come find my children as they were born, right? That didn't happen for me. I doubt it happened for you. And I doubt when you were born that angels visited total strangers and told them to come find you and see you, right? This was a significant moment in time. And so we can see that clearly something is happening here, and that the birth of Jesus was beyond extraordinary. Yes, birth is extraordinary. And Jesus' birth was extraordinary. But the birth of Jesus was beyond extraordinary. And so as we continue in verses 10 through 12, which is where we're going to spend the most of our time this evening, it says this: "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" So not only do these shepherds see an angel, but the angel also then speaks to them. That is a significant event. They're not just seeing this, but they're having a direct conversation with this angel. The angel is telling them, and I'll tell you what, if an angel speaks to you, I would recommend listening to what that angel has to say. Okay? And so what in fact is the angel saying? Well, we see in the beginning of that verse in chapter 10, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." This is emphasizing the ground-shaking, life-altering, history-impacting significance of the birth of this child. And so we're going to briefly work back. sacrifice that Jesus will one day become, the sacrificial lamb wrapped in swaddling cloths. This was significant news for the shepherds, and culturally, this would have made more sense to them. I thought that was a very powerful reminder as I learned that even recently. It signifies that the Savior comes not in opulence, but in simplicity, making the message accessible even to the lowly shepherds. And another interesting side note, to approach the temple, which is where God would dwell in the Old Testament and even still up in through this time, you had to approach the temple and be ceremonially clean. Many things would disqualify you from that, such as blood, cuts, scrapes, being around dead animals. The shepherds were regularly in this situation. The shepherds were regularly around the sheep and their manure and their cuts and their scrapes and their brokenness and their dirtiness. And so the shepherds themselves would rarely have been ceremonially clean enough to enter into the temple and worship God. But what an incredible reality that God comes down and shows his glory and describes this incredible news and gives them this beautiful sign to them first of all people. What a beautiful reminder about how accessible we can be and how accessible God is to us despite our dirtiness and our brokenness. And we see that displayed even here. And so this sign is remarkable. But what is this sign pointing to? Well, if we back up a little further, we see that he is the Messiah, the Lord. In Judaism, the Messiah was the expected king in the line of David who would deliver Israel from the bondage of the Roman Empire and restore the glories of Israel's golden age. So these shepherds and the nation of Israel overall was expecting, which was prophesied in Scripture, was expecting this political or militant power to come free them from the oppression that they were facing under the Roman Empire. And so these shepherds and many of the people in that day, the Israelites, were looking at the Old Testament Scriptures, understanding that this individual was going to come and free them, but they were looking very short-sightedly. They had eternity, wasn't even a part of their thought process at this time. They were just looking for immediate freedom from the bondage that they were under from the Roman Empire. But God sent his son to free them from way more than that. It wasn't just about that at all. It was about something far more significant and far more eternal. And if we back up even further, we see it right here. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. A Savior has been born to you. This is the most incredible part of this entire story. Jesus is the Savior that these shepherds, that the Israelites had been waiting for. So what exactly is a Savior? And why do they need one? A Savior is a person who saves someone or something from danger, ruin, or defeat. Synonyms for this would be rescuer, deliverer, defender, or guardian. So what is it that these shepherds, what is it that the Israelites were in need of saving from? Well, we get a very clear description of what that is in Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus as the angel is telling Joseph what to expect from his fiance, Mary, who has just been told she is going to have a baby. And we see this in Matthew 1, 21 through 23. It says this, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." Not from temporary oppression, not from the Roman Empire, not from any source of political power, but from their sins. This is a significant moment, and all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The shepherds, the Israelites, Mary and Joseph, they needed saving from sin and its consequences, which included death and separation from God for all of eternity. Now let's pause and understand what sin is. You may come to services and church a lot and you hear that word or you hear it in other areas, maybe even out of context. What in the world is sin? Is it just doing bad things? Essentially, sin is anything that separates us from God the Father, anything that goes against the will of the Father, of the will of God. And so to give you the backstory of this all, which we're going to actually unpack more in January if you keep coming around here. God loved every one of us so much. And so when he created the world in Genesis 1 and 2, he created man and woman. And he wanted them, he desired for them to love him in return. But in order for him to have this love be true and authentic, he needed to allow them to choose to love him back. Because if there's no choice, then really what does anything matter? If there's no choice to do the right thing, then there's really no wrong thing anyway. There's no good or evil if there's no choice involved. And so God gave his creation a choice. And in Genesis 3, we see that his creation chose to do things their own way. And in this moment, it allowed sin to enter this war into the world, and it created a chasm and a gap between God the Father and his creation, because God, in his ultimate goodness, cannot be anywhere near sin. And so now there's a gap. But he loved his creation so much from the beginning of time that there was always going to be a plan to redeem that. And so he wanted to be with his creation all throughout Scripture. We see it in the Old Testament as he's with them in the temple, as he's with them in the wilderness, as he's with them in their wandering and they're turning their backs on him. He continually is with them. And this sin needed to be atoned for, and that's why the sacrifices needed to take place. Blood needed to be spilled to make atonement for the sins that creation was making all through Scripture. And these sacrifices would take place in the temple, and they needed to be of perfect animals. If the animal wasn't perfect, where's the sacrifice? And that's why Jesus came in, because what these temporary sacrifices offered, Jesus was going to eventually fulfill permanently for all of eternity. And it's available to all of them in that moment. There was nothing the shepherds could do to save themselves from the sin that separated them from God. Jesus was the answer. Jesus was the Savior. And again, we see here clearly that the birth of Jesus was beyond extraordinary. The shepherds were being told very plainly that the one who will make all things right has been born. The one who will set the oppressed free has come to earth. The deliverer is here. Our rescuer has finally come. The king has been born that will save Israel and even more. And so they were being told that the birth of Jesus was beyond extraordinary because it meant good news of great joy for all people, everyone. Not just then, but today as well. Not just the shepherds, not just Mary and Joseph, not just the Israelite nation, but for you and for me today. Jesus, the Savior, wasn't just for them. We still need him today. There is nothing that you and I can do to free ourselves from the grips of sin. It's not possible. We can't do it alone. And so this same good news that this angel shared with the shepherds that night is equally as good today for you and for me. It has not faded away. It has not become null and void. It has become more and more true every single day because sin is still, in fact, in this world. We are in this in-between. We know that Jesus lived an incredibly perfect life, was that perfect sacrifice, defeated death, ascended into heaven, left his spirit to dwell inside us, God with us and God in us. And one day all things will be made perfect and all things will be made new and sin will not have any grips on any of us. But until that time, sin is still crouching. It's still waiting to devour. But we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us if we call Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. And that is why this is incredible. A number of years following his birth, Jesus was interacting with a close friend after her brother's death. This is the story of Lazarus. You can read it in John. And as Jesus was comforting her, he said these words, John 11, 25 through 26. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? This is why the birth of Jesus will bring great joy to all people. As a person believes in Jesus, acknowledges with their mouth, confesses with their mouth, and believes in their heart, their sins are forgiven. As a person believes in Jesus, they no longer have to live with the burden of guilt and shame every day. As a person believes in Jesus, they will live even after dying. We've all been born. Birth is extraordinary. Every single one of us have experienced it. Births happen every day, and some births are really special to us, right? The birth of our own children or grandchildren. Born, and they will set certain scenarios and situations free from specific forms of government or political oppression or whatever that may look like. We see it happen all the time. You can look through your history books, and people of significance were born and they did really good things, but then they died and sin continued, and we're still in the place we are today. Only the birth of Jesus has an eternal impact. Ask you, do you believe this? And all sorts of things like that. I'm excited for those things as well. But don't let this moment pass you by if you feel God tugging at your heart. And if maybe you just want to sort of get out of here quick, but you still have some questions, we have these books. We only have a few available, but they're over at the Connection Center under the TV, these Why Christmas books that really sort of answer a lot of the popular questions that people have when it comes to Jesus and Christmas itself. My business card is in here. You can email me. We can set up a meeting. I would love to hang out and talk with you and answer any questions myself that I could. But don't leave tonight as just another Christmas Eve that you did another visit to a church service, or even this is something you do every week and it's just another day. Allow God to continue to speak into your life even after you leave this room. Be reminded of the eternal significance of his birth as you sit around your family Christmas tree opening gifts, remembering that he is the best ultimate gift you could ever, ever receive or experience. It is powerful, it is significant, and it is eternal. Do not miss that. This was such good news that as this angel was sharing it with the shepherds, more angels showed up. And they were like, and they began to sing over this. It says this in verses 13 and 14. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." May you experience that peace in one of the most chaotic seasons of life, seasons of the year, Christmas itself. May you experience his peace in the upcoming hours and days. And may you be reminded of the joy that he brought into this world and the freedom that he brought into this world unlike any other person ever could. We're going to celebrate this as we participate in our candle lighting ceremony of the service. It's a beautiful time to be reminded that Jesus entered into this world as a spark of light into this dark world, and over time, his light continues and still continues to spread among the nations. And so we're going to light these candles together. I'm going to light one, and then I'll begin to light others. And as you light your candle, make sure you tip the unlit candle into the flame just to prevent some spilling of wax. But be reminded that this is a beautiful picture and representation of the light of the world. The reason we sing joy to the world, which we're going to do in just a minute, because of the freedom of sin that Jesus brought into this world, is the final perfect sacrifice. So as I light these candles, the room will go dark. We'll let the light and the flames spread through the room, and then we'll sing one final song together.